Good morning, Bridge City Church, White Oak Campus. How's everybody doing this morning? Listen, happy Easter. He is risen. There we go. I love it. If I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak Campus of Bridge City Church. And I say it every single week. I'll continue to say it. I will never stop saying it. Some of you are sick of hearing me say it. There's no place I'd rather be than right here with each and every one of you praising God and worshiping his name, obviously this side of heaven. But last night was an exciting night. It was our first ever Saturday night worship experience. This is the first time we've ever had four worship experiences in one weekend at the White Oak campus. But last night, it was hard for me because I needed to switch my brain around a little bit, because we talk about the power of Resurrection Sunday. And last night was Saturday. So I needed to ask Alexa for a little bit of help. And I asked Alexa, where is it already Sunday morning? And she said, Australia. So last night, it was Australia time here, because it was already Sunday morning, so I said good day, mate, to every single person. Now, I don't want to rob you of me speaking in an Australian accent, so I want to continue that, because it's Monday in Australia. And you're like, why in the world is he talking about that? Because the tomb is still empty in Australia today. And we're celebrating the resurrection power today, but they're still walking in the resurrection power on Monday in Australia. And that is the goal of today. The goal of today is to remind us why we celebrate and remind us that tomorrow we still get to walk in the celebration. It's not a one-day thing. We forget things. Just come up front, meet my beautiful wife, Rachel, and ask her if I've ever forgot anything. I leave the house every morning, and I come back in for something that I forgot. I have Apple AirTags on everything. I'm going to start putting Apple AirTags on other people's things, like my father-in-law's phone that is still in North Carolina. Ooh. Don't try to call them. Let's go. We're going to talk about some things we need reminded of. Luke 24. On the first day of the week, Sunday, very early in the morning, the women took the spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. Why'd they take spices? Because they were looking for a dead man. They were going to prepare the dead body that they were looking to find. They were looking for a dead man. They found the stone already rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. Two shocking things happened in four verses. He wasn't there, and these guys had some bling on. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he told you. While he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man he told you that the Son of Man must be delivered to the hands of sinners. He must be crucified. And on the third day, he will be raised again." Listen, some of us are being reminded today. Some of us are being introduced to the fact that the tomb is empty and we get to walk in that every single day. My first Easter of knowing Jesus, my pappy said to me, "He is risen." And I said, "Yeah, yep." I had no idea how to respond. All I knew was that, yes, he wasn't in that tomb anymore. I didn't know what the statement, he is risen indeed, meant. All I knew was that he wasn't there anymore. He died on the cross for me. I knew that the tomb was empty. I knew that there was power in that. But there were people that were teaching me how to walk in that power all the days of my life. That Easter was different for me because it wasn't just about ham and angel eggs and macaroni salad and great lamb. Yes, it's angeled eggs. I don't know why they're called deviled eggs. They're holy.
It's the paprika.
It's the smoked paprika. If you're not putting smoked paprika on your eggs, you got problems. Smoked paprika changes it all. And spicy brown mustard. Don't be using regular mustard. Okay. But you need to be reminded. Why do we need to be reminded? Because we forget. And sometimes we allow for our circumstances and what we see to dictate what we do. These ladies, they walked with Jesus. They ate with Jesus. They saw Jesus. They saw him perform miracles. They were with him. And yet they still didn't believe that he would do what he said he would do. They saw him die. But they didn't believe that he was going to do what he said he was going to do. They let their circumstances and what they saw dictate their faith. You might be in here today and your circumstances might be dictating what you're doing instead of what you've been told. That he's alive, he's powerful, he's going to get you through what you're going to go through. He's going to turn everything to good for those who love him and are walking according to his will. I like the third service. They're responding way better. Yeah, this is good preaching too. It really is. Thanks. I appreciate it. Listen, I'm like Lennon. The more tired I get, the more excited I get. So here we go. Our circumstances shouldn't dictate what we know to be true. What we see isn't always what is happening. They saw him die. They heard him say that he was gonna rise again and death wouldn't win, but they allow what they saw to dictate what they felt and heard. Why are these statements that he made so important? Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Remember what he told you. Statements at the empty tomb, these statements are so powerful. He told you what he was going to do. Why didn't you have the faith to believe him? You walked with him. You saw him. You saw the miracles that he performed. He is who he said he was. You had no reason not to believe. But yet we still do. They did. We do. They needed reminded. We need reminded. That's why today is a day that we gather to be reminded what he did for us, and we get to walk in it on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, not just on Resurrection Sunday. That tomb is empty tomorrow and the day after. So how do these statements affect us every single day? How do they affect our normal everyday life? We need to know that every promise that he spoke over us will come to pass in his time. Those statements affect our normal everyday life because he does what he says he will do. But we live in a culture that we want it right away. There's same day shipping now. Same day. You don't even need to grocery shop anymore. But I highly recommend you do, because they say everything's out of stock because people just don't want to walk around and get it. I ordered gloves to take to North Carolina, 20-pack of gloves. They told me they canceled my order. They said they weren't in stock. They had a shelf of them. Went up to Home Depot and got them. I was just trying to get them shipped same day. The promises that he spoke over you are true. You are more than a conqueror. You have been set free and set free indeed. Not a little bit, all of it. And we're going to unpack it today. What does the resurrection do for you? What does it do? When we walk in the resurrection power, Jesus's resurrection from the dead, first and foremost, it cleanses our heart. It cleanses your heart. Why? Because your heart needs cleaned. There's some buildup in there. You need a stent put in. You need a bypass. Some open heart surgery. You need cut. The Word of God tells us that. We're going to get there. We're going to unpack that. The second thing you need is you need your name cleared. There's been some charges put up against you and me. And we need to walk in the freedom of knowing that the gavel hit the bench and we've been told that we're not guilty and we won't be charged again and we can't be tried again. We're going to talk about that. We need reminded of that. Some of us need told for the first time. And the last thing, we need to claim our victory. Each and every one of us are Powerball winners. You wouldn't just walk around with your Powerball ticket in your pocket knowing that you have it. You would claim it. You'd get your affairs in order first if you won your Powerball. Make sure that, you know, you had a financial planner, you had an attorney, make sure you did all those things if you were smart, and then you'd go claim it. You don't do that in the kingdom. You don't get your stuff in order first before you go to Jesus. It's like getting a shower before you get a shower. I'm going to get a bath before I get in the shower. I got to get clean first. We'll talk more about that. But these are the things that if we get these three things right, we're going to walk in it. So let's go to Colossians 2. You were dead because of your sinful nature. You were dead. Last night, saw two people go from death to life. The first worship experience today, actually our second worship experience. It's just one long worship experience to me now at this point. One person responded to the gospel. That's three people go from death to life. I've seen many people go from death to life spiritually, but it changes you when you see somebody go from death to life physically. I've never seen somebody prayed back to life in a physical sense. But I've seen some people over and over and over and over and over again in a spiritual sense go from death to life. People that were walking completely dead. Looking for life in places that life wasn't there. You can only find life in Jesus. And we're going to see that in these verses. The truth, the Word of God. It's the only place you could find life. And because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away, then God made you alive with Christ. He is the only thing that can bring you life. He's the only person that can bring you life. But we look for life in so many different places. We look for life in a bottle, whether it be an alcohol one or a pill one. We look for life in a drug. We look for life in another person. We look for life in a relationship. We look for life in our wallet or our checkbook. We look for life in our retirement. We look for life in our job and our education or in our house or our social status or whatever it may be. All of those things don't lead to life. He does. And he leads to an eternal one, one that won't run out. But we look for it in all these different ways. Let's keep going. For he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us, and he took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. So let's look at the first thing he does. He cleanses our heart. He cleanses our heart. Our heart needs cleared out. Some of us really need some cleaning. We got some plaque in there. He forgave our sins. 2 Corinthians 5:19, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. He gave Jesus so that we could be back in his presence. So everything was made right. He reconciled us. He made it make sense. Cleared everything out. Psalm 103, verse 12. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. Just got back from North Carolina. The drive was a little bit under 8 hours with like 1.5 stops because one of the people that we were with was highly, highly, highly against stops unless you ran out of gas or you were going to have an accident. He was like mean about it. Aggressive. But we made it. That was a long drive. But your sins are even farther away from you than that when you receive what Jesus Christ did on the cross. It's like from the best coast to the west coast. And farther than that. Some of you are like, well, did he just say the best coast? Yes, the best coast to the west coast. East coast all day. What? We can't fathom this because we keep a record of wrongs. We don't forgive like he forgives. We forgive different. I'll forgive you, but you better not do it again. I'll forgive you, but you think you're walking on eggshells. It's like eggshells with nails. I'm not giving you eggshells. Eggs are expensive. We don't forgive the same way God forgives. God forgives and doesn't keep it in the back of his mind. He forgives completely. Jeremiah 31, he remembers our sin no more. He remembers our sin no more. But guess who remembers it? Us. We remember it. We remember the things we've done. We remember the things that were done to us. Why? Number one, because we have a flesh. Number two, because we're Mon Valleyers. You might be like, what's a Mon Valleyer? You're in the Mon Valley right now. You might not be from here, but you're here now. And as people in the Mon Valley, we like our stuff. We keep it, we protect it, we hide it, we try to keep up with the Joneses. Usually the Joneses sit over in this area. That's why I always look over there. There's only one Jones. They're getting married this year, though, so there's going to be Joneses over there. But we do. We pick our stuff back up. We set it at the cross, we meet Jesus, and then we're like, I'll take that. I'm going to keep that. But Jesus doesn't just forgive us and expect that we're not going to sin ever again. He knows we are. He knows that we're going to. He forgives us, and then he'll forgive us again. It's not a get out of jail free card. He wants our heart to continue to be changed. He wants to give us a fresh start and know that his mercies are new every morning. And I've been believing for Easter for months and months. We've been praying and believing for each and every one of you, but I've been believing for next Sunday and the Sunday after that and the Sunday after that. Why? Because this is a reminder, but next week's a fresh start. Next week is it's a fresh start for everybody. We all need a fresh start. We all need that. So I'm inviting you back for a fresh start series next week. How do we walk this out? How do we walk in the power of the resurrection? How do we walk in that every single day, knowing who he is and knowing who we are? And you may be thinking, I hope they're giving out air fresheners. Those are sick. We were going to. But there's two reasons. Number one, they weren't going to get here in time. And number two, they were really expensive. So you can take an invite, you can punch a hole in it and hang that from your mirror. Okay? Spray whatever scent you want on it. It'll hold the smell. It's good. It's good cardstock. Okay? The business director for the church would say they were really expensive and they wouldn't get here in time. I just flipped the reasons. But yeah, just hang this from your, hang it from somebody else's windshield. There you go. Invite them. Because I know a lot of people that need a fresh start, including myself. Every day is a fresh start. But if you don't know how to walk in that, you need to learn. I needed taught that many years ago, what it looked like to walk in knowing that my heart was cleansed, that my name was cleared, that I wasn't guilty anymore. He cleared our name. Verse 14, he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Not guilty. He was thinking of you and of me and those outside of these walls whenever he was being beaten, whipped, and nailed to that cross. He took on every bit of shame, every bit of blame, every bit of pain, everything that we carry, every bit of guilt. He cleared it. Your record has been fully expunged. You know what that means? It can't be accessed. I had some underage drinking charges as a kid. It's expunged. You can't find it. Unless you go look at the daily news when it says 52 high school kids arrested at drinking party. There's somebody else in this room that was with us. I think there's an officer in this room that was there that arrested us. You can't access that. It's been expunged from my record. It didn't happen. But it did. Why am I telling you that? Because it was something that happened when I was 14 years old. I was a freshman in high school. I was just excited to be hanging out with the seniors. A lot of good that did me. There's things that have been done to you, you've done, you've held on to. And he's telling you, you're not guilty. You don't need to carry the shame, the blame, the pain any longer. He took it. And you can't be charged with it again. The only person that will bring it up again is you. And the enemy will try to over and over and over and over and over again. Have any of you ever heard the term double jeopardy? Once you've been acquitted of a crime, you can't be charged for that same crime again. But we do it all the time. We try to put ourselves on trial for the same things over and over and over and over and over and over again. When God already cleared our name, he canceled it. He disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. You'll bring it up and the enemy will try to bring it up as well. He'll try to taunt you. How dare you try to do this? Don't you know what you've done? Listen, I agree with my enemy quickly. I know I'm not good enough, but I measure myself based upon what he did on the cross. I know what I've done, but I also know what he did for me. Walking in victory. Listen, there's people that talk about things that I've done when I was 14, 15 years old that I didn't even do. I'm like, that's great. Let them talk. As long as they're talking, it's good. Your name's been cleared. Walk in victory. Know that he shamed your enemy publicly. Walk with a little swagger about you knowing that. What else has he done? What else has he done that we need to know? We need to know that because he cleansed our heart, because he cleared our name, we need to walk in knowing that we won. We need to claim our victory. Colossians 2, verse 15. Let's read it again. He disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Because of this, we won. Because of that, we have an undefeated record. Because of that, that's the Powerball ticket. That's the winning ticket. So here's my question to you. Have you claimed your ticket? Have you turned it in? Have you claimed your winning ticket, and are you walking knowing that you're a Powerball winner? Have you started walking in the victory of the resurrection all the days of your life? Do you know where you're going? Do you know that nothing will ever take away your victory? This all hinges upon one of my favorite words in the Bible, and it's only two letters. If. It's a powerful word. If. If you've claimed your victory, walk in knowing that. If you haven't, today's your day. Maybe today will be the most different 420 you've ever had. Listen, I know today's 420. Don't think I don't. Romans 8. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave up him for all of us, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us and is sitting at the right hand, at God's right hand, pleading for us. Let's keep going. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or we're persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ Jesus who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And all of those promises in Romans 8 hinge on one word: if you've received God's love, if you've received what he did on the cross for you, if you've asked for his forgiveness, and if you've allowed him to become the Lord and leader of your future. And I can't answer if for you. Only you can. So here it is. It all hinges upon one word: if. And if you have, walk in the resurrection power. If you haven't, today's your day. So if you haven't, I'm going to ask you to do one of the bravest things you've ever done, but one of the most amazing things you'll ever do. And that is slip your hand up to heaven and say, God, that's me. I need to know that today's the day that I've received everything you did on the cross. And I want to walk in the resurrection power of that empty tomb. Today's my day that I don't walk in an if any longer. And if that's you, just slip your hand up to heaven because we want to pray with you. We want to rejoice with heaven. And we want to help you walk out what it means to walk in the resurrection power of Jesus. Anyone at all today? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Amen. See that hand back there? That's two. The angels are rejoicing. Anyone else? Don't let this moment pass. You're not promised Monday. You're not promised Sunday afternoon. You are promised eternity with Him if you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior. Anyone else? Amen. 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 Yeah, you can clap. I said amen. I saw her hand. Father God, I thank you so much for today. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for who we get to be because of you. Lord, I thank you for everything that you've done, everything that you're doing. Lord, I thank you for your resurrection power and those that have received it, all of us and all that ever will, get to walk in the power of the empty tomb in Jesus' glorious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Listen.